You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
What's up? Welcome inside Studio 34 in Midtown Manhattan. FST Overtime Fantasy Sports Today, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fantasy executive, that is I, All In Kid, Jade Seely, Wall Street, Matt Medica, talking life, sports with you today. Want to get into the discussion about stolen bases. Read an interesting article over the weekend about steals in baseball. And while Mr. Sussman looks like he didn't give a thumbs up.
Yeah, it's happy. It's happy to go either
way. Yeah, you never know. You're correct, Matt Medica. So the article about stolen bases and why stolen bases are down in baseball, I wanted to bring that up and to discuss with the fellas. Also got the YouTube Live Goon Squad rolling. And last week we promised to let you all in on the story. I don't know if you want to call it a beef, or the situation that brewed with the All-In Kid, Jake Seely, and NFL scout, talent evaluator, radio host down there in Houston, Texas, Jason Braddock. So we'll get some gossip, we'll get some stolen base, and don't forget, I got Tout Wars tomorrow, so you got any tips for me, 844-843-6879. Matter of fact, if you come to my house tomorrow night for the draft, I'll buy us some chicken wings, I'll go see my connect. And then and then I get some beer too, and then we'll see what else you do. If you come through and give me a hand, but it's got to be between us. You feel what I'm saying? Because I don't want the rest of the touts to get upset. Speaking of the rest of the touts,
what I'd like in to Harlem stays in Harlem.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Speaking of the rest of the touts, I would like to give my sincere condolences to Steve Moyer and his family. Passed away over the weekend out there at the labor auction. So he's a member of the fraternity, and definitely want to give a rest in peace shout out to him. Now I bring in my guy, the All-In Kid, Jake Seely. Jake, good morning. How was your weekend?
It was good. Corey, how about yours?
It was tough, Jake. I was here on the fourth floor by myself. Shout out to Pete Considori, because anybody handle that kind of workload that Pete Considori has on the weekend by himself, shout out to them. I got a better respect for everybody down there on the fourth floor that's doing a great job. Shout out to Pete Considori. He gets it done during the weekend, one-man gang. I was running around, Matt Medica, like with my head on fire.
You were living. You had the fantasy pit of misery experience.
Yes, no doubt about it. Now, Matt Medica, how you doing, brother? How was your weekend?
Doing good. The weekend was fine. Very excited because we were getting ever so close. You got your big draft tomorrow night.
Yep.
I know the Tout Wars is coming in New York.
Coming
St. Patty's
up
in
two weekends,
weekend.
Yeah.
But that's also the NFBC live event weekend in New York, and then I go to Vegas a few days after.
It's a lot going on in the March Fantasy Baseball
Draft
Month, Roto Camp. You already know the whole thing. We got you covered, but I want you guys to check out Fantrax.com. You can create the ultimate dynasty keeper or redraft league using Fantrax free commissioner product. Find out how it feels to have the deepest player pool, multi-team trades, plus player salary and contract options at your fingertips, all which are fully customizable. And with Fantrax Treasurer, you can set up league entry fees and safely distribute payouts with a third party, so you don't even have to track down payers, owners for payment. Enter the promo code AL, A-L, and sign up for a chance to win 10 private consultations with Fantasy Baseball Hour host Al Melkier, valued at $109. Find out why Fantrax is the home for fantasy sports. Check out Fantrax.com today, and we come back on the other side, Braddock versus Seely.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman say it.
Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NHL and NBA free rolls every week. Free entry. Simply sign up and enter. FantasyFactor.com. I didn't read the www part because if you've been alive for the last 10 years, you should know that you don't do how to get on the damn World Wide Web. All right? So there you go right there.
You're an elitist fantasy, sir.
I've never been mistaken for a member of the top 1%, like Mr. Sussman has.
Breaking news. Well, not really breaking
news. Okay.
A half hour ago or so.
Okay, what we got?
Paul DeJong, obviously, was Cardinals shortstop.
Yeah, he hurt something.
He got a nice little extension here. Was it 6 years? Or where'd it go? I believe it's 6 years for $26 million.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically like, you know, just over $4 million a pop.
All right, good
which
for him.
Is a, and look, it's a smart move for the Cardinals is if this kid does, like, hit, it's a great deal. If he misses, it's really not going to hurt them.
All right. Is there anything he does for fantasy purposes, Paul DeJong?
Well, I mean, a shortstop last year, I don't know if it's – I don't really know how sustainable it is. It's not somebody that I've gotten. If he can, you know, keep hitting all these home runs, if this fly ball rate is going to hold up, I'd like to hear Jake's take on it.
Jake, you got a take on Paul DeJong?
I think he's a quality option, that's for sure. I mean, I can tell you where I have him in projection.
Got an Astros hat.
Yeah, I've been wearing it the entire morning.
I like it.
Pay attention.
I'm sorry. I wasn't facing that direction at first.
I have him 11th at shortstop.
You got him 11th? Actually, okay.
I mean, the fact is the mid-20 home runs is what's going to get him there. I'll take him in front of Tim Anderson and Marcus Semien, who are basically 15-15 guys.
All right.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest. I know a lot of people love Semien. Anderson's problem to me is just I just don't know if he can be able to hit. But he's got the job security. The thing with DeJong for me is this is another guy that strikes out a ton and doesn't walk.
Yeah, that's
so
not
he better going. Hit you 25 to 30 homers. Otherwise, why do you have him?
You want to get in on some fantasy baseball talk? 844-843-6879 telephone number. I ain't got my computer open, Chris. So if somebody calls, just holler at me, pop in my ear. And I got them covered. So, let's talk about the beef, Braddock and Sealy. I'm set it up like this, right? I'm friends with both gentlemen.
Yeah, but you got to set it how it goes back. I didn't know this, the whole true backstory of it.
So, all right. So basically, I met Braddock around the same time I met Jake when I first started producing the Roto Experts, SiriusXM. Braddock was not even writing for RotoExperts.com. He was doing something I forgot the name of the site that they had back then. It was Braddock.
Blue Dogs.
It was Blue Dogs with Braddock. Dr. Roto was on the joint. Cardano.
Yeah, Mike Cardano.
Yeah, Mike Cardano, whatever. The whole thing. They used to do some stuff for there. I know Braddock covered the NFL. Well, he was big into football, put it like that. So me and him got on the telephone, gave him a phone call. Real smart dude, good, bright NFL mind. He's from South Carolina, like not too far from the areas where I went to college and stuff like that. He live out there in Houston, Texas now. Houston, Texas. Kind of remind me of Paul Wall. We started putting him on the show, you know, every week on the Roto Expert. He'd give great advice, whatever. One time it came up to the draft. We chilled together. Braddock real, you know, he's a good cat, good dude, whatever. Chill with Braddock. He's not really the biggest fantasy guy, but a good, smart NFL mind. Obviously, you know the all-in kid, Jake Sealy, how everything breaks down with the two of them. Now, Braddock's been in the flex leagues with us and stuff like that as he's gotten more into the fantasy space. Jason Braddock, I'm talking about. And a couple years ago at the flex, chill with Braddock, had a good time, drink a couple beers, do some other things. Good guy, no beef with Braddock. Come on the program, chop it up, we talk, whatever. Same thing, same old Braddock, same old G. This year, I noticed Braddock was supposed to be at the draft. I didn't see him at the draft. And then I heard he might have been at the one in New York at the GS. Well, where was the New York Flex at? The GST, right, Matt?
Yes, the GST.
Yeah. Thought he was supposed to be at that. Notice he wasn't up here. Other than that, you get him on the show a couple times, talk Houston Texans, talk this, talk that. Cool dude with me. No problems with Jason Braddock. And then sometime in the middle towards the back part of the football season, all in kid Jake Sealy told us a story about something that was going on in his league. And I went home that day. I took a nap. And then I came. When I woke up from my nap, World War III had broke out between the all-in kid Jake Sealy and Jason Braddock. Jake, I'm going to bring you in right now to take over the story and tell the audience, the Goon Squad, how we got to this situation where the all-in kid and Jason Braddock are not only beefing, blocked on Twitter, no interaction altogether. And from what I'm hearing, this is according to Braddock, it could come to fisticuffs at some point. I don't think Jake's a fighter, though.
Well, hold on a second. Whose story is this? I'm going to check the time we just went and spent on that.
I'm sorry, Jake. The ploy is yours.
Well, look, first of all, for it to be beef, two people have to care. I really don't. And I'm just going to tell it factual. I don't want to disparage anybody. So I'm going to tell you the facts. You can make your own opinion of how which way it goes for you. Because everybody always says there's two sides of every story. I'm not trying to color it one way or the other. I'm just going to tell you exactly what happened from the beginning to the end. So first of all, so you know, Flex had nothing to do with it. So I'll couple that in to the entire story. So Braddock, we connected when we were doing draft talk back when they first came over and joined us. And we did a draft chat room together. And that's how we got to know each other. And we started talking extensively because we were both high on some similar players. And we both have, you know how much I go into NFL draft prospects. He does the same. So that's how we built our friendship. And then we had an opening in my home fantasy football league. And I said, hey, dude, you want to join it? Because we kind of became friends. And he's like, sure. So he had been in my home league for now 4 or 5 years. So the whole thing with the New York that happened with the Flex is he was supposed to fly up to New York. He contacted me like 10 minutes before the draft and said that he missed his flight. That's what happened with that. That has nothing to do with the story. I don't know if what happened there or how he missed the flight at that point, but that's why he wasn't at Flex. That has nothing to do with the story. So he's in my home league. He's been in there for, like I said, 4 or 5 years. It's a keeper auction league. So people know you can keep four players. It's auction price. Every single year you keep them, they go up by $5. Our trade deadline is the week after Thanksgiving because Thanksgiving is a tough spot for it. It's a little deeper into the season because it is a keeper league and because we've found that keeps people active both for the trades and continue to try and fight for that year so people don't bail. And that once at the point that they change their mind, you know, you can make trades looking for next year. I've missed on some trades. Everybody's missed on some trades. Some trades have hit. So you have trades at the end of the season. You know, going into this league, that kind of league, that you're going to have trades that you don't like. You're going to have trades where somebody gives up. I just gave up Odell Beckham last year because I can't keep him because we have a 3-year limit. I gave up Odell Beckham for basically a pretty poor return keeper-wise just because I wanted active players because I was going for the title and the other person was already out of the draft or out of the running. So in any case, there was a trade that went down at the trade deadline that he wasn't a fan of, that I got value for. It was the Odell Beckham trade. And he basically, without saying anything, I wake up the next morning, his entire team has been dropped. All right, everybody from – what?
What was the Odell Beckham trade?
I don't remember at this point. Okay, go ahead. Like I said, it was some decent value for me. It wasn't anybody. It wasn't like a Julio Jones or anything like that. It was some decent value where the players were cost about $45-$50. The guy was not going to keep them. He was looking towards the future for Odell Beckham. There was other pieces involved, too. I said other pieces involved. It was definitely weighted in my favor for this year. But again, this has been happening the entire history of this league. The entire history of the league that he's been in has seen this happen. So dropped his entire roster. So I texted him and said, what the hell is going on? And he goes, I'm done. I was like, what do you mean you're done? He's like, so he starts texting me back about how my trade was ridiculous, how this I can't arguably say that it was valid, that it hasn't ruined the league, that I'm not taking advantage of the league, that I'm not underhanded, that I'm not sneaky, and all this type of stuff, and started, you know, saying negative, disparaging things about me and saying I was trying to ruin the league. And going back and forth, I said, guy, this is how the rules have always been. This is how we always have done it. And he goes, I don't care, blah, 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 all this type of stuff. And like I said, it just got very confrontational, and he was calling me names and like calling me a cheater and that type of stuff. I said, I'm not doing this with you. I said, this is the way it's always been. And he goes, I said, this is the way it was last year, and you didn't complain. He said, this is his exact response. I didn't care last year because I wasn't in the playoff hunt. I said, okay, well, you've also made this kind of trade with me. And he said, I don't care because I was looking to the future and I wasn't in the playoff hunt. So he's been in a similar trade. So then it goes from that, and he keeps coming back and keeps texting me. And I finally text him back and say, Jason, I don't want to do this, but I'm not going to deal with this anymore. I'm going to block your phone number if you don't keep coming after me like this. Like we're obviously this has gone far too personal. This is something you've known from day one. I don't care if you disagree or not. You're fair to disagree about the trade. You don't drop your entire roster and trying to ruin the league because you disagree. That is being a schmuck. And that's what I said exactly to him. And he kept coming back. I said, dude, you're blocked. And I don't know what was after that. But then after that, he comes at me on Twitter and says, you're going to block my phone number. If I ever catch you in person, I'm going to beat your ass. I promise you that 100%. You better be on a watch out, blah, blah, blah. So I blocked him on Twitter, too. And I'm done with him because, again, You could disagree with the trade. You could disagree with how the league is. You can disagree with the strategy. I don't care. That's what happens. You don't drop your entire roster. By the way, he also quit the league and never paid the league fee.
How can we make money on this? Can we have a little pay-per-view?
All right, so what are we going to do? We come back on the other side. Sealy, Braddock. It's a lot to unpack. Fantasy sports drama. We're getting into it right here, FSTOT. Got some stolen base talk coming up also. Matt, I want to get your opinions on this. 844-843-6879. You want to chime in? FSTOT right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
I knew this song was gonna be playing when we come back. This is not the greatest diss track. This is not the greatest diss song. This is not the greatest beef song of all time, if you ask me. A lot of people say "Hit 'Em Up" is the greatest beef song of all time.
Who shot you?
I wouldn't even say who shot you. Mine's the Takeover when Jay-Z was going at Nas. A lot of people like Ether when Nas came back at Jay-Z.
Those are solid. I actually still think the one that got the biggest was when LL Cool J took down Cannabis.
Ooh, that was good. That was good.
Yeah,
what
he
was
took
the name of that joint
woodshed.
Again?
I think it was 1, 2, 3, 4, wasn't it?
Yeah, something. That was a good one. Then Eminem had one that going at Benzino that was legendary also.
I thought Shaq had the best one when he said, Kobe has my ass
to. Ah, that was a good line right there. And then you had obviously Dre Day when Dr. Dre was going at Eazy-E. Those are some of the classic beef joints. But everybody goes to Hit 'Em Up. But I think, personally, is the Takeover with Ether being a close second. Remy Ma also bodied Nicki Minaj over the summer, too. 844-843-6879. So, Matt Medica.
I got the trade.
All right, so you want
to... I want to hear the trade.
You give your opinion.
All right. Also, real quick before I say the trade, I just want everybody to be clear. To be honest with you, the saddest thing about this is I'm disappointed I lost a friend in all this. I mean, really. That I go back to, again, even if he was in the right, you don't ruin a league. You don't try to ruin a league, and that's what he did. He also didn't pay for the league. Like that's the most disappointing part. But you ready for this outlandish trade?
Let's
you ready for this
now.
Trade that ruined the league and made me a cheater and a schmuck and all that type of stuff? Here's the trade. Now, mind you, like I said, I couldn't keep Odell Beckham because I already had him for 3 years.
Now, wait, quick question. Said, could the other guy keep, yep. Now the other guy keeps Odell Beckham for the next 3 years?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. He also gets him at $25 because I had him from day one. Uh-huh. I got Odell Beckham as a rookie. So in any case, Odell Beckham is what I said. I said Odell Beckham, Demaryius Thomas, and Drew Brees. The return I got, Tom Brady and Adam Thielen. The end.
Oh, boy.
The end.
Now, you're talking about a player that's hurt this year, a quarterback, and then DT. This is really not in a keeper league, I don't see where this is that egregious.
No, I think I'd rather, out of everybody there, I'd rather have a $25 Odell Beckham. For the next 3 years. It's the keeper aspect. You want to know how you keep friends and you don't have fights like this? You don't have trade leagues anymore. But for the fact that it was a trade league and it's a keeper league, especially even in baseball. If you play in a baseball keeper league, you're going to see the deals like this. And if you're getting one of the best players in the game, or at least at his position, and you're getting him at a discounted price for the next 3 seasons, I don't see what's wrong.
This is not a bad deal right here, Matt. Now, as far as Matt is, the other things that went on around how it all played out, what do you think about that?
I think it's the ultimate thing is that it's sad. It's sad that these two guys were friends. They've been friends for a while.
Yeah.
And look, there's been bad trades in fantasy. And look, people do get angry and it gets out of hand. But at some point, somebody's got to have a cooler head and say, look, it's a trade. It's fantasy. We're boys. You know, we shouldn't go this far. So, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like I said, I don't see no problem with the, I don't see no problem with the trade. The whole dropping your whole roster and stuff
that
like
I
that,
like. That.
I don't like that. That's is, Bush League right there. Not paying your league, like your league dues. I think that's Bush League also. So that aspect of it I don't like. But I will come back and ask you though, Jake, do you think that it, because this doesn't sound like a lot, and you know, yeah. we're men, you know what I'm saying? We're adult males. We really don't, this right here is catty. I hate to say it like that. This is catty right here. What I wanted to ask you, Jake, is do you think it was something that it could possibly be something else under the surface where Braddock had a beef and this right here just brought it to the light?
Oh, that's actually what I said to a couple people. Is I said, I wonder if something else is going on. But that's why also I was trying to, through the text, like just let it go. My biggest thing while I was texting him back and forth, what I was saying was, I don't know why this is so personal. I'm not going to, but at the same time, I'm not going to listen to you call me names to say vulgar things at me, to say I'm ruining the league and all that type of stuff. I'm just trying to get back to the fact that what you did when you dropped your team was a Bush League move. As you said, it was a schmuck move. I'm putting your team back on. You need and pay the league fee if you want to stay. And he said he was out. I tried to go that route. He continued down the other route, and that's when I said, I'm going to block you. And when, at the point when I blocked his text, that's when he came out and started threatening physical violence. So I agree with you. It seems like there's got to be something else behind this story, because all of it, even encapsulated together, doesn't seem like enough where I would threaten physical violence on anybody. I would never leave it and let it escalate to this level. But at the same time, you know, I tried and I tried and I tried, but I'm going to stop. Like, either you stop or I'm going to move on. And
let me ask you this, Jake. When the texts were going back and forth, were you being like a snark, you know, asshole-y type Jake Sealy, you know what I'm saying, that rears his head every now and then?
Yeah, you got to be honest with Jake.
I'm not, and that's why I'm saying I'm trying to try to be 100% down the middle with this. Is the fact I told you what I said. I did. I told him that was a schmuck move of dropping your entire roster, and I wasn't trying to egg him on. I wasn't calling him names outside of being a schmuck for doing that. I just said, look, you. Here's the things I tweeted him or texted him. You knew the rules. You've made similar trades. Dropping your roster is a schmuck move. Trying to ruin the league is a schmuck move. I'm not going to keep listening to you calling me a cheater and vulgar names. Those are the things that's what I texted him nonstop. I didn't ever escalate to say, I got this trade. You're just not a good owner. Oh, you're just not good at playing fantasy football. Never did anything like that.
Well, I mean, I see how it starts to escalate but once again, it's like, shout out to Lance Davis. He's like, I just throw soup on my league mates. But like, I'll go back to the main point here. It's unfortunate that these two guys
I don't like
friends.
To see that. They were buddies. You know what I'm saying? That's not a good look
Well, and here's the most telling part, Corey. Again, when I came back with, you've made this trade, and these trades have been happening, not even including myself. These trades have been happening the entire history of the league. When your response was, I wasn't in the playoff hunt, so I didn't care. Really? I mean, where do you go from that? You're basically admitting you've known this is the case. You don't have a problem with it, but now that you're in the playoff hunt, it matters to you.
Yeah. Well, here's the whole thing, too. If you're going to play in a keeper league, you have to notice.
You notice it's a part of it when you keep a league.
You know that there's going to be skewed trades. Like, you know, if you're out of it, you're going to try and trade everybody to get Mike Trout or something like that, or one of these high-end Uber players for your team that you can keep for the next few years and rebuild.
Now, it just so happens that we're discussing this today. Like I said, I took a nap. I woke up. My phone was zzzz. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And all of these text messages was coming in. And it just so happens over the weekend, I was texting with somebody. And the text message, and I looked in the list. And the text message is there. It's from December 1st, 2017. Love the hashtag. We'll try to get at All In Kid on the phone line next segment. The bottom line. Hashtag bitch ass Jake. That's not nice.
Oh, yeah. I got somebody told me about that. Somebody told me that they were talking about me on air, and he kept calling me bitch ass on air and kept trying to, he was setting up for radio and trying to get me to come on. while I was doing. And so here's finally at that point, Corey, this is where I did take it to being, well, I don't think he was an asshole. I think it was a smooth move. It's basically I found out on Twitter, people were tweeting me. They're like, oh, Jason's out there trying to get you to come on. And my response was, sorry, I'm too busy hosting award winning On Target.
This is what. Now, that part did get back to me, too. That part got back to me in the phone call. And it was like, oh, Jake burned him. Then somebody put 790, that's Jason Braddock's radio station, should find someone to sponsor you to get a plane ticket to Virginia. So I don't think it was, I don't think Braddock going to come up here and fight nobody. You know what I'm saying? I don't think it was going to go down like that. But like I said, this is friends. And fantasy is for friends. You know what I'm saying? It's for friends. You see what just happened over the weekend. All the dudes out there in labor, obviously very sad that their buddy Steve Moyer is no longer with them. Yeah, that's not funny.
I didn't hear what you were saying. I was talking about the friends thing, and I saw what Marty put in the chat. It's like maybe it was put? Because he was maybe it was because he was on the wrong Houston's quarterback.
Maybe you never know. Now, like I said, I don't know, but it sounds to me like. You know, but like I said, fantasy is for friends. You know what I'm saying? This is not something that we get into and,
but it
and
does
get the beef.
No, that's why I just prefer to do it on, like with the NFC.
No trades.
Like, there's no trades. I'm doing it against people that are competitive just as hell, but I don't have to worry about it. I mean, people will get pissed if somebody drops the wrong, you know,
yeah.
And then, you know, Greg or Tom will have to intervene, but
yeah.
and at least there's a third.
Matt, when you were in trade leagues, anything, something like this ever go down in a league where you was like,
I had to call somebody bitch ass? A league in Brooklyn, in my Brooklyn league, which me and my friend from Staten Island did a trade.
Yeah.
Which, it was early in the season, and we did a trade, which... And we were accused of collusion.
Yeah.
So I just finished that. I was going to quit, but I was like, you know what? I finished the season out, and I never played in that league again.
It's a chump move also not to pay your money, even though you participated in the league.
I didn't ask my money back or nothing. You got to be a man.
You've been in the league 4 years. You know what I'm saying? Now, JB is my man. Listen, there's two sides to every story. I don't know what it is. Like I said, the trade right here that I see, I think it could be another backstory behind this whole situation right here. So we'll leave that up. You got an opinion on it, 844-843-6879, telephone number to dial to get involved and give your take. But try to stay friends with the people in your fantasy league, you know what I'm saying? And I got my league, the Empire. I don't like all of them cats, to be honest with you. But I'm all, you know, we friendly and stuff like that.
It's
send me
nice.
A message. Yeah.
It's nice. See, the main thing with, like, some of these leagues, and what I like about my Brooklyn league was once a year I definitely see these guys that I spent a lot of time in, like, you know, my mid-teens, early 20s.
Yeah, no
doubt. Having a blast with.
Yeah, exactly.
And,
so you get back together in times like this.
Of, like, cheating when...
That's crazy. You know. So there you go right there. So everybody just... I think that thing with Jake and Braddock, I think it's something suffering underneath that, and it's not just about what took place in that league right there. So there you go right there. Everybody up to speed now. He was threatening him on Twitter. He said, I don't see if I care if I don't see you in 6 weeks or in 6 months. I'm going to kick your ass. So I chuckled at that one.
We got to get those boxing gloves to Jake.
Yeah, we got to get Jake going to be training right up the stairs like Rocky. You know what I mean? So
I don't need the train.
Oh!
That was good. This is what we need. Like, we come
back on the other side. Stolen bases. They're down all over baseball. We'll discuss why right here on FNTS. FNT. Oh, you know what I mean.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Championship weekend college basketball. You may want to catch the DKMS 2018 March Madness special on Monday, March 12th. That's 1 week from today at 4 p.m. East right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network with host Craig Carton. Get the edge on filling out your bracket with analysts from Greg Sussman, Mike Blewett, and special guest Yahoo's Brad Evans. And if you're looking to make some money, Gabe Morency and Blackjack Fletcher will line your pockets. The broadcast will simulate on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube live page. It's the DKMS 2018 March Madness Special on Monday, March 12th at 4 p.m. Eastern here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's the three of us, Corey Paulson, Jake Seeley, Matthew Modica. Is your first name Matthew?
The full name is Matthew, yes.
That's very nice.
Pretty much my father was really the only one that calls me that.
I'm sorry.
but I did something wrong.
Yes, normally not a good sign when you hear the full name. So, in 2007, in 1997, in the Major League Baseball season, there were 3,308 stolen bases. 10 years later, in 2007, it was 2,918 stolen bases. In 2017, it was 2,527 stolen bases. We are seeing a steady decline in base stealing around Major League Baseball. It's going down year after year. And as a matter of fact, less and less players are stealing bases because there's too much risk involved with stealing bases. Injury is obviously one that comes to mind. Not only your hamstrings, but also we're starting to see players, if I'm not mistaken, injure their thumbs. Correct, Matt Modica?
That's why you see those kind of mitt things, those hand things they put on now when they get to first base.
Also, the big power hitters that come in the middle of the lineup, they're not trying to waste swings or waste time in the box because you're sitting over there playing cat and mouse with the pitcher. They're thinking, I'll just hit it in the air and drive you in. That's a part of their game. So you got the long ball, you have injuries, and you have analytics. Trey Turner said he was told, if you don't steal at an 80% clip, where your success rate is 80% or more, then it really makes no sense to do it. Matt, the reason why stolen bases are going down is because the analytics behind baseball are saying there really is no sense behind stealing bases in today's game.
Now, the analytics do have a lot to do with it as well. But, I mean, it's the game itself has changed. I mean, I grew up watching baseball in the 80s. I still, to this day, think that was the best form of baseball. It's now more of a true outcome kind of game. The home run, the strikeout, the walk. And as you point to the analytic part where teams don't want to give up an out. So I'm for the 80% or circa 80%. You can't have somebody who's got a 60% stolen base rate running all the time. That's just not smart. You know, you got to play the percentages to a certain point. But if you have guys that can run and steal at a certain clip, 75, 80%, then I think it helps you. It puts that guy in scoring position. It gets you out of a double play. So, I mean, I want to see the stolen base in the game. I want the right people to run. And look, you don't have to be the fastest player. There was guys like Kevin McReynolds who went like 27 for 27 in like the mid to late 80s in stealing bases because they knew when to run and how to get the correct jump.
All right, now, Jake, when you look at this and the decline of stolen bases, it seems like that's pushing fantasy owners to reach for stolen bases earlier and often. Don't you think maybe fantasy owners kind of just be like, just get off of stolen bases altogether? Because with the numbers dropping every year, you're paying a premium for something that really is not going to be there except for three or four players.
No, and that's exactly actually what I've been saying over the past couple of weeks now, is that when you talk about it, we talk about on the show and said that if you hit a middling average, middling runs in RBIs with 15 home runs, you're basically a nothing player nowadays because 15 home runs means nothing anymore. So the stolen bases, unless you're getting a premium guy like a Hamilton, like a Trey Turner, you know, Whit Merrifields and stuff like that, and even those to that point, Billy Hamilton is going to be a drain on your average. Billy Hamilton hurts you somewhere else. He doesn't provide RBI. At least Trey Turner, the reason he's a first-rounder is because he's got home run power, because he's got five-category production. That's why he's up there. Mike Trout is a little bit better than him, and Mike Trout's probably going to get you around 20 or so. But that's why they're up there. The premium you have to pay for steals, I understand it if you want to go that route, because now you've got a good chance that you're going to get 13, 14, 15 points out of the stolen base category. But if you don't, if you miss on the guys, here's the problem that I have is don't push Jonathan Villar into the top 10 rounds. Don't push Jose Peraza into the top 10 rounds. Don't overdraft Malik Smith now that he has a starting position. And as much as I like him, you don't draft him inside the 12th, 13th round just because of the stolen bases, because while one guy of 20 to 30 is nice, if you just pay attention a few here and there, 10 to 15 here, 10 to 15 there, you'll be middle of the pack by only getting 80 stolen bases for your team. And that's my point. It's harder to get at the top of power than it is at stolen base. 10 to 15 stolen base guy can move you up three spots. A 35, 40 home run power guy is somebody that you need just to get near the top nowadays. And that's what I'm saying is, like, I'm attacking power more because it's just so easy to finish in stolen bases now.
What do you think about that, Matt?
I think the mindset to have also is, you know, you don't have to, like, say you needed 150 stolen bases.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe one or two teams are really up there in the stolen bases.
Yeah.
The rest of the pack is probably much further away.
Okay.
So you don't need, I don't think, as many. And it's kind of what saves. I don't ever want to be dead last in saves.
Yeah.
I don't need to be top three. But I want to be somewhere, say, you know, 7 to 10.
Yeah.
In that range. And I can do the same with speed and focus on my other categories. You know, if right. I nail my starting pitchers and I nail that whip in ERA, because you're not getting your whip in ERA back if it goes south early on you. You know, you have a limited window to get that right. And once it goes the other way, it's really tricky.
Another thing with stolen base. Go ahead, Jake.
Hold on. Real quick, that I was going to say, Matt's 100% right, because you might look at it, you're like, oh, I need 130 stolen bases to win the league. Oh, I need 110 to finish the second. Look at third and fourth, because third and fourth is like all of a sudden 90. Like, there's a huge drop off to Matt's point. Same thing with saves. Yeah, you might need 130 to win that category, but you only need 80 to finish fifth. Whereas home runs, if you give up the power and you keep chasing all those steals, you'll find yourself at the bottom of the pack of home runs a lot quicker than you will trying to chase just 10 to 15 steals.
There you go, because chicks dig the long ball.
Yeah, I like to Jake's point about with the power. When there's so much of it, you need more abundance. You need to have more, not less of it. And everybody keeps saying, you know, just wait on power. You get these guys late. You're getting guys that are going to bat like 230 and hit like 25 home runs. You really don't want to have too many of those guys on your team. You don't really want that in your lineup. And just something like, I'll do it for like the overall competition, and you can do it for like your home leagues. Look at like the 80 percentile of what the top three are at. What does it need? What do you need to be in that conversation? You know, you're not going to win every single category. Look, there's going to be a season where maybe everything goes right, you go injury free and stuff like that. But if you look at it at that point, how do I get to 80% in pretty much everything?
All right. So another thing with stolen bases is instant replay. Back in the day, Ricky Henderson, he'd go flying head first, zoom, slide all past the bases. Everybody be like, safe, it's Ricky Henderson. Nowadays, with instant replay, you're taking a bigger risk because you slide past the base, that second baseman throw that tag on you, manager come out the dugout, Matt Medica, now you're out. Is instant replay one of the reasons why stolen bases attempts have gone down in Major League Baseball?
I don't know about the instant replay, but there's more of it not being successful. Because like you said, it's either they overslide the base, or like say if your foot comes up for a second off the bag, like when you slide into your hand, and if you're just like away from the bag for that half a second or two.
They calling that now?
It
wasn't calling that in Ricky Henderson's day.
But look, if you're going to do a replay and you can see it on the replay, you're going to have to call him out. Mm. You know?
I was fine
with the neighborhood play back in the day, but everybody now, you know, where the shortstop, you know, you had to just be in the area.
Yeah.
And, you know, people weren't getting as injured. Look, the Daniel Murphy thing with Utley, yes, I get it, but still, I don't think Utley's out there to hurt anybody. It was a play that turned violent in a big situation where everybody got to watch.
It was in the National League Championship, if I'm not mistaken, right? That was the National League Championship. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes the stakes get a little bit higher, right, this, that, and the third, especially in that situation. Jake, what do you think about the situation with instant replay and the stolen bases going down? Because now you slide – Ricky Henderson would slide past the damn bag all the time. You know what I'm saying? And nobody would say nothing to him. But now the manager pop out the dugout and the player's out. It's like, why even risk it?
I don't think that's why stolen bases are going down. I don't think that's in the back of their mind. Like, oh, you know, my foot came off the bag for a millisecond and the tag was down. I don't think that has caused a few, but how many times did that get overturned last year? Maybe five in an entire season. Like, I don't think the base pass stealers are out there going, oh my gosh, instant replay might catch me.
All right, cool.
You know, that's not the reason, but it does happen a lot where these guys want to be getting called out.
Yeah.
You know, foot came up and stuff. I don't know. I'm kind of torn with replay. I'm kind of torn with it.
You're torn on replay?
Yeah, because...
go back to something you said. Go ahead. You're on replay. Go ahead.
No, just real quick. It has its good points, then it has its bad points, how it stalls the action and everything.
I was going to say earlier, too, I was going to go on replay. I was going to say way back earlier what you said, Corey. I didn't get to chime in about it. You were talking about the hand, the gloves, the mitts that they're wearing, all that type of stuff. Go back to sliding in feet first. You don't have to slide in head first all the time. I know sometimes you're trying to avoid the tag, and by head first you can go around the bag and kind of reach out that way. But 90% of the time, just slide in feet first. They've already proven it doesn't make you any faster.
But what if you spike somebody, though? Don't you not want to do that?
No, you don't want to spike somebody anyway because then your foot's not on the bag.
Oh, that makes sense, too. But your butt could be on the bag. But then you'd be slid all the way past the base. You'd be out by then. Also, are catchers getting better, too? Is that a reason why?
Well, it's not always catchers. It's the pitcher. Is the pitcher getting better? Because you steal off of the pitcher most of the time.
Not the catcher. Right. But see, nowadays, back in the days, catchers used to be like old linemen. Nowadays, catchers look more sleek and fleet of foot.
No, because to Matt's point, you look at it when John Lester and Syndergaard and people are like that on the mound, people just go bananas stealing against them. I mean, people who normally don't even steal bases. You look at one of the Syndergaard start from 2 years ago. I mean, there's people in the Phillies that don't normally get like 5 stolen bases in a year that were running on them.
I can't even do my job, Matt Modica. FSTOT right here on the network.
It never gets old.
All right, everyone. Two truths, one lie.
I was going to be on The Real World. I play the oboe. And I saved a kid's life.
You definitely never saved a kid's life.
I'm serious. Last summer, I donated bone marrow to a kid who had leukemia.
Saving a life. The truth is, it's easier than you think. Learn how at dkms.org.
Who knew we were living with a hero?
A hero who plays the oboe.
Fantasy Sports Today.
You knew the rules. You've made similar trades. Dropping your roster is a schmuck move. Trying to ruin the league is a schmuck move. I'm not going to keep listening to you calling me a cheater and vulgar names. That's what I texted him nonstop. I didn't ever escalate to say, I got this trade. You're just not a good owner. You're just not good at playing fantasy football. Never did anything like that.
I see how it starts to escalate. Shout out to Lance Davis. He's like, I just throw soup on my league mates.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fitting that we come back, Lil J the Kiss bringing us in. The champ is here. I say that begrudgingly. You know my allegiance lies to America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. But sitting next to me right now is Najee Good from the World Champ linebacker. I can't believe I'm about to say this. From the World Champion Philadelphia Eagles. Najee, we got a couple minutes as we get ready to close the show right here on FST. My man, congratulations, bro.
Thank you, man.
Go ahead, get your microphone on. There you go.
Testing. Thank you. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Congratulations, Philadelphia Eagles, world champions. I can't believe it.
Yeah, man. It's been a while, man. We had a crazy year, ups and downs. To win the championship, man, to see the city out there. You had fans screaming, people into it, man. We had, you know, the games was crazy. Loudest game I ever played, the NFC championship game.
The NFC championship game was wild. I can imagine. Let me tell you, but the injuries that the team suffered throughout the course of the season, when Carson Wentz went down, myself and a lot of other people in the media included, wrote the team off. I said it was one and done in the playoffs. That was my exact words sitting right here. One and done. They're gone. Forget about it.
Man, we knew that. We knew everybody did that. And, you know, we kind of did some things in the facility to remind us that, you know, people were – you know, they was doubting us, and we saw the votes. It was crazy, man. But, you know, in Philly, we wear an extra shield on our back and an extra chip on our other shoulders, and we just turned that into rocket fuel, man, and it blasted us through the playoffs.
I hear you. All in, K. Jake Hill, you want to get in right here?
Yeah, it actually pains me as a Giants fan as well. But I got a question for you for real. Off the field, is Jason Kelce really like if you went out, would you ever say, hey, you know what, let's leave Jason home because he might embarrass me while I'm out in front of public?
No, you want to go out with Jason Kelce. You want to go out and have a good time. Kelce's a quiet dude. That's the thing. He a quiet dude, but when he expresses himself, he's hurt.
So let me ask you, on your side, in the offseason, we see Frank Wright, a lot of members of the coaching staff leaving, trying to get it back together, bring back the band together for next season. How difficult is it going to be with so many new pieces?
I don't think it's going to be difficult at all. The best thing, I mean, we got our head coach with Doug, and he's done a great job. And we still kept, you know, very intricate parts with Deuce, you know, our special teams coach, defense, and stuff like that. So we're going to do a great job putting it back together. And on top of that, too, man, we got a lot of guys, almost everybody returning. We got to figure some stuff out, you know, in free agency or like that. But,
yeah,
you know, we got Carson coming back. We got, you know, Alshon and all those guys locked in. So we should be good.
Now, let me ask you a personal question.
What's up?
This has kind of been in the news this week. Do you think Dez Bryant is washed up?
Do I think Dez Bryant is washed up? You a Cowboys fan.
Yes, I am.
I don't like him, but you know, I mean, I'm cool with him.
You don't like him. That's not just your man.
Wait, let's stay with this.
You know. Let's stay with this. How about this? How about this question for you? Do you think Odell Beckham should be paid over $20 million a year?
That dude is a beast. I can't even front, man. The dude is one of a kind talent, man. He got the wiggles, he got hands. So hey, pay the man.
Nah, I feel you. He's going to get a chance to get opportunity to get his money. NFL Combine going on right there in Indy right now. You've been in the league for a while now. Do you remember that process and going through it?
Yeah, man, it was crazy. It was fun and hectic at the same time. You know, I want to congratulate all the guys that got invited. But it's a learning process. It's a curve. That's like the initial steps into the league, walking to the league.
Yeah.
And man, you know, who y'all think about picking up? I got a question for you.
Oh, the Dallas Cowboys, I think we need a wide receiver on the opposite side of Dez. Maybe like a James Washington or a Cortland Sutton. They may not be there, but BPA, best player available. Once we get full six games of Zeke, I don't think Philadelphia Eagles want to see six games.
I'm going to come off that course.
I had a chance to hit that.
We only have like 30 seconds left with him, so I'm going to ask him about that because he just asked you, all right, so if my Giants take Barkley, how scared are you seeing him in the division?
Oh, we knock him out.
Oh, there you go.
Just
because
he got on the blue jersey.
There you go, because he got on the blue jersey. You knock him out. Najee Good, Philadelphia Eagle, world champion Philadelphia Eagles. Like, I say that begrudgingly. Thanks for stopping by for these last couple minutes with us right here at FST. And enjoy yourself and congratulations again. Definitely proud of you. West Virginia's, what's up?
What's up? Shout out.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, well, not we. We about to sign out. Coming up next is the BFFs, the Fantasy Best Friends Forever, right here on the network. I'll be back tomorrow morning, bright and early. And you catch me a little bit later on tonight. We out.